If you're a visitor, just remain seated. If you're a regular, we want to stand and welcome everybody to the house of the Lord this morning.
We have something very special for you this morning. There's so many ways that I could introduce this, but I'm going to go with this one. The voice of the Hiram First Baptist Choir. Chris Pope is a multi-talented man. Not only can he keep us straight upstairs, he plays the piano. I know, I didn't know that either for the longest time. But as we go into our worship time right now, Chris and Savannah, you all know that Savannah can sing, so that's no surprise. But I want you to listen to the words of the song they're about to sing, The Waiting. There's some very special lines in this song, but you pray and let the Lord lead you as they sing this morning.
Waiting, I anxiously wait as I hold on to life.
That's fine. I want to take just a moment and share with you. Take a little reverb out of this for a minute. Some of you know, I know many of you know this. 2 years ago, I was starting my journey with cancer. Some of you remember the bald head, how good I looked through all of that. God spared me. He touched my life. He healed me of cancer. I do not have cancer today. Amen. Sometimes I think, you don't need to tell that so much because people get tired of hearing you talk about it. Listen, let me tell you something. It is nothing that I did. It is not anything about me. But it's all about what Jesus did for me. And the one thing that I'm learning, I continue to learn, is He did not heal me to just breathe air and to take up space. He's doing the same for you this morning. I don't know who, but the Lord wants to touch somebody in a special way this morning. I want Mandy to come and sing this song because I know this piece that she's about to sing about. You know, when they came and told me, they said, you're stage 4. It's a very aggressive cancer. You may not make it. You know, it did not scare me. I am not afraid to die. Not one bit am I afraid to die. I'm ready to go. But we're all going through storms in our lives. We put on our Sunday best and we come to church and we try to smile and make our family look beautiful so that everybody thinks we're just all that and that everything is okay in our lives. But there's not a person in this house this morning that does not need a touch from the hand of God. And I want you to get it here this morning. Sing the song, Mandy.
Even though the winds aren't still and the waves continue tossing me from the storm, I call His name for relief from things distressing me. Now so quietly it comes, strength to find my course again, though He does so much for me. The sweetest gift will always be time. that with prayer I cannot find. Peace in the midst of the storm. His great love takes the form of peace in the midst of the storm. Such peace in the midst of the
Can you say, thank you, Lord? Thank you, Lord, for your sweet spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know that we belong to you and that you care for us. Thank you, Lord, for just taking and wrapping your arms around me when I need it. There's a sweet spirit in the house this morning, and I'm thankful for that spirit. I pray for that spirit. And that's my heart's desire and prayer. My heart has been heavy for several days. And I've been thinking about prayer and the importance of prayer. And, you know, I want to tell you thank you for using God, the altar. Thank you. And, you know, as it's been said, this is, you can get saved here. You can get refreshed here. You can talk to the Lord here. You can lay down burdens here. You can bring petitions here. And I'm so thankful that we have it. Amen. I want to read this morning out of 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And the title of the message that I have on my heart this morning is Seven Things That We Should Pray For. Now, we need to pray. I mean, it's very important to understand that we need prayer in a church. If you know the scripture, one time we see where Jesus got really mad. And he got really mad and he took and he wove a whip. And he went into the temple and there were money changers there. And they were those that sold doves there and those that sold different animals there. And they were, you know, they could have easily argued, well, it's needful for us to be here. Because after all, the people are traveling from great distance and they need a money changer to change their currency. They need someone to sell them a dove for the sacrifice or to sell them a lamb for a sacrifice. But there was a problem. There was a problem in that the house had been changed and it wasn't serving the purpose that Jesus saw it to be. He took the whip and he wove it and he drove the money changers out. And I want you just to see him for just a minute as he overturns tables and he knocks money buckets and possibly even cups off of tables and he runs people out. That's what Jesus did. And he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Nowhere in your Bible are you going to find where it says, my house shall be called a house of music. My house shall be called a house of preaching. One thing I know and understand is there's no way that any preacher, no matter how good he is or how powerful he is going to be able to stand in the pulpit and preach in such a way that without prayer it's going to change anything. And I want us to understand this morning as we read select passages from the Word of God that we don't need to stop praying.
We don't need to stop getting on our face before God. Now, folks, we need to pray when we come to the house of the Lord. If you feel like praying, while I'm preaching, if you want to pray, you come on up. But we need to be praying at home. We need to be praying that God would speak to us wherever we are. We need to pray in the morning when we wake up. We need to pray when we lay down at night. We need to pray at work. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And I've said this before, many times my phone rings and I've got to where now I can recognize phone numbers. They come up. Let me tell you, sometimes I see a number, I'm praying. My boss calls, I'm praying. Some of these mad customers call and I'm praying. And I got this little sign over beside my phone that says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Then I've got one beside that says a soft answer turneth away wrath. I'm praying. If you would stand with me, I want to read one verse, one passage, and we'll pray, and I'll let you remain seated for the rest of what I have to deliver this morning. But in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, and I want to read in verse number 12 down through verse number 15. But this is where the Lord comes and He speaks to Solomon. After Solomon had built the temple and dedicated the temple with many sacrifices, and the people were there, and the glory of the Lord came, and He filled that temple, and He was in that place so much so that it's kind of like the glory of God, when it's present, it shines. And I believe when the glory of God is present in His house, it shines on His people. But the Lord comes and He appears to Solomon in the 12th verse. It says, The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now let us pray. Lord, thank You so much for allowing us to be in Your house. And God, we know this is Your house. This is a sanctuary. This is a holy place. And God, we pray that You'd move in amongst us. And Lord, we know that You already have. But God, we want You to have Your way. God, we want You to direct us. We want You to speak to us. God, we want You to move in such a way. And Lord, this is my heart's desire, that when people see it, they know that the Lord was here. They know that God is doing something. It's not about us, Lord. It's not about the preaching. It's not about the singing, Lord. It's about lifting You up. And God, we pray that You'd speak to our hearts, our minds. Lord, anoint my lips this morning that they'd speak only the things that are pleasing to You. Bring to remembrance, Lord, through Your Spirit, those words You'd have spoken. And Lord, for all You do, all You're going to do, we give You all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if we look at this scripture, and we see that the temple had been built and it had been dedicated, and the Lord, He appears to Solomon, and He says, I've heard your prayer. We'll talk about it in just a minute a little bit more, but Solomon prayed. Solomon sought God, and he sought God's will. But then if you look at the 13th verse, God understands man. And God understands that we have our problems and our issues and our limitations and our troubles. God understands that we have our times of disobedience and our times that He needs to move in amongst us to speak to us in some fashion to get us back on track. And that's why He speaks to Solomon. He says, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. Or if I command the locusts to devour the land. Now what that does, that means you can work as hard as you want to work. But when there's a curse on the work of your hands, it's not going to matter. He says, or if I send this pestilence among my people. All he says is this, if my people pray. Because there's going to be times that the pestilence is going to come, times that the trouble is going to come, times that the problems are going to come, but God's people need to pray. We need to humble ourselves to God, and here's what you, when you get in that shape, here's the way you pray. God, have mercy. God, forgive me. God, help us. God, renew our understanding. God, strengthen our hearts and our minds. God, set us back on the right path that we go in a direction that's pleasing unto you. God, we surrender our will to your will, understanding and knowing that you are God and we are not. And I like this 15th verse. It says, mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made unto this place. Now I know that this scripture was written and it was spoken where God was communing with Solomon and to the children of Israel. But if I understand the word of God and what I see here, I believe this is a promise for you and I also. That if you and I are willing, when we have an issue, we need to pray all the time. But in America today, we need to pray intently that God would restore order in our country. We need to pray that God would send His hand of blessing. Now, folks, just because you're busy at work, and like we are, we got more work and we know what to do, doesn't mean that there's not trouble on the horizon. Let me tell you something. The cabinet can be full. The billfold can be full. But if you don't know where your kids are, you still got trouble.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. You can have everything in the world. I know people who are functioning. I just preach. I don't know where we're going, Brother Tommy. But I know people that are functioning alcoholics that go to work every day, but they're still alcoholics. I know people that work every day and they say, I can hold down a job, but they're still addicted to meth. Let me tell you something. If things are not right at God's house, you need to pray.
Amen.
We need to ask God because God cares about us. Over in Matthew chapter number 7, I want to read some scripture to you and I'll get into the points in just a minute. But I like this scripture because of what it says. Chapter 7 in the 7th verse. It says, ask and it shall be given to you. It says, seek and you shall find. It says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Then you go on down, it says, or what man of there is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now, serpent. Now, let me tell you where I'm at with that. You know, I love my kids, but my kids ain't perfect. I'll just be honest with you. I love them so much that if they were any better, I'd probably bless them so much. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I want them to be blessed. I want to bless them. But sometimes they're not doing right. And here's what's going on in my mind. Why won't y'all be good so I can give y'all what y'all want? That's in my mind. And my wife, she grins at me and she nods her head because sometimes it pains me to say, you can't have that DVD tonight. It pains me to say, give me those car keys. It pains me to say, no, you have to go to bed without any television. Because I love them. Do you understand what this scripture is saying? That if you love your children and you know how to give good things to them, how much more shall your Father in heaven that loves you more than you can even comprehend and understand, He wants to do good things for you, but we need to ask Him. You know why we don't have the things that we need a lot of times? It's because we simply do not pray. We do not seek God. Says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Now folks, I don't compare my holiness or righteousness anywhere near God. I'm not. Okay? I am what I am by the grace of God, and if there's anything good in me, it's because of His grace. There ain't nothing in me. But when I look at this scripture and I see what it says, I believe as I saw a sign one time that was hanging on the wall, I think it's in my mother's house, it says, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. I heard one time a man say that they feared the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of England. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. A person that can get in touch with God is the kind of person that I want praying for me. I want people praying for this church. I want people praying that we do the right thing, go the right way, know what God's will is. Sometimes we get all the concerns, all the issues, all the problems coming at us. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. That means be worried for nothing. Now, some people walk around with worry all the time. I'm worried about what the stock market's going to do. I'm worried about what the government's going to do. I'm worried about what Iran's going to do. I'm worried about what the Muslims are going to do. The Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I want to talk about that with thanksgiving a minute first. We need to be praising. We need to be thanking. We need to be singing when we come into the house of the Lord, lifting up praise to His name. It says prayer, something we need to do. But then it says supplication. Supplication is to ask for earnestly and to ask for humbly. You know, the words that I heard Charles Stanley speak years ago, I heard him preaching on this, and it stuck in my heart and my mind. It says that prosperity makes monsters, but adversity makes men. The truth is, as a Christian, what you need in your life is anything that will make you pray. The question is, what does it take to make you pray? A lot of times people only pray when they got trouble. It's like when the phone rings and they fall to their knees and they cry out to God, but it's the first time that God has heard from them in a long, long time. It ought not to be that way. Amen. Supplication. In James 5, in the 16th verse, the latter part of the verse says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, that's powerful. It's got power in it. What is effectual? It means effective or with great effect. It's sincere. It's when you come before the Lord and you pour your heart out to Him. It's the earnest desire of the heart. And then fervent is burning. It is exhibiting or marked by feelings of great intensity. You know, I've been recently reading a book entitled Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire by Jim Cimbala. He is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. That church started in a rundown building, and I guess when he took the church as pastor, I'm not sure this is really where it started, but this is where it took off. It had about 20 people in it. And he just started. You know what really built that church was prayer. They started praying, but there's one incident in that book that really sticks in my heart and my mind. It's like when you're trying to serve God and you got a child that goes astray, that'll make you pray. He had a little girl, her name was Chrissy, and she got away from home when she was just a teenager. And he said, I found myself coming into the church service and walking behind the pulpit to preach. And if I wasn't careful, my mind and my heart constantly, every hour, was interceding on behalf of my daughter. He said, if I didn't pay attention, he said, I couldn't even preach. I couldn't even comprehend when people come to talk to me. He said, because I was constantly, constantly interceding on her behalf. You know, there are times in our life that we mean business with God. We need to mean business with God in America as Christians on a regular basis. He said, it got to where I prayed, I sought, and it even wore me down to the extent I had to begin to praise and trust that God was going to do what He said He would do before I ever saw it. One Tuesday night at the church, they were there and they had a prayer meeting. And I believe really that's what built that church. But they were there and they were praying. And one of the young people said, Pastor, I really feel like we should just pray for your daughter. Because he didn't want to attract attention to himself, he was reluctant, but he agreed. And they started praying. And that night, at that time, he didn't even know where his daughter was at. Hadn't seen her in a long time. But that night, as they prayed, the Spirit of God went to where she was at. And she fell out of her bed on the ground. God gave her a vision of the abyss, knowing that her time was limited. 2 days later, she was in the kitchen on the floor on her face, weeping. Saying, what were y'all doing 2 nights ago? Power. There is power in prayer. I've seen what God can do. I want to see God do more. Amen? I want to see what God can do with a group of people that will come into His house and just say, God, whatever you want, would you just lead us? We had a video a couple of days ago that we played where Beth Moore said, what would God be able to do if His children simply surrendered to the movement of His Holy Spirit and said, God, you direct me. But see, here's where we have problems. We have problems with our prayers. Number one, we either do not pray at all, or we pray with our heart in the wrong place. It's like this in James chapter 4 and verse number 2 and verse number 3. Says, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Now, that's not what prayer is. Prayer is when we do business with God that we've surrendered to Him. You know, a lot of times people come to the house of the Lord. The only reason they come is they want their life back to the way it was yesterday. They've not come to surrender to God. They don't want to surrender to God's will. They just want their husband back. Or they just want their wife back. Or they just want their job back. Or they just want that guy repossess their truck to bring it back. What we need to do when we pray is surrender to God and ask God through His Spirit to teach us how that we should pray. You know, I believe the Holy Spirit will not only come in your midst and answer your prayers, but if you get serious with God, God will show you what you're supposed to pray for so you'll know how to pray. And when we get to that point that we're following the Spirit, our prayers will be answered because they'll be prayed in the will of God. Here's a quote from Samuel Chadwick. Says, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, from prayerless work, or prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil and mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. See, I think sometimes people have a misconception. They think that God has blessed or done something because of an individual. Here's what I think God does. Most of what God does, He does not do it because of us. He does it in spite of us. That's why that verse that Brother Larry Hart really likes, it says, yet if we believe not, He still remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. You see, He's God. That's why God could take someone who has limited natural ability, but if they know how to pray and do great things with them. Because He does it based on our cry. Now, I want to go as quickly as I can, and I want to give you some things that we should pray for. Okay? Number one, we spoke about this last Wednesday night, was wisdom. We need to pray for wisdom. You know, if you go to the 1 Kings in the 3rd chapter, and you begin to look in the 5th verse, I'm not going to read all the scripture, but the scripture there tells how Solomon had a dream. And in his dream, he come before the Lord, and he asked the Lord, he said, Lord, I thank you for blessing me and for my house being the house that you have chosen, that I would be king. He said, God, I pray not for wealth or riches, but how can I lead this so great a people? How can I do this great work? And Solomon began to ask the Lord that He would give him the ability to discern. And in the 9th verse it says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked. And the scripture says, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and have not asked for thyself long life, neither have asked riches for thyself, nor have asked the life of thine enemies, but have asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. He said, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither shall there arise any like you after thee. Now, here's something else. He said, now, because you've asked this, I'm going to go ahead and give you the wealth. I'm going to go ahead and give you the riches. Now, God doesn't have a problem with you having those things. And if you look at Solomon, there was nobody like him. The queen of Sheba came and she saw the riches and she saw the land and she saw the wisdom. And she says, the half has not even been told. But the first thing that Solomon prayed for is wisdom. You see, how in the world can we expect to know how to rule our homes without wisdom? You know, how in the world can I understand and even fathom how to be a husband without wisdom? How can I understand how to raise my children without wisdom? How can I come into God's house and try to lead God's people without wisdom? You can't do it. You can't go to Bible college and get it. You can't get a group behind you and decide that your way is the right way and it work. You need God. There are times more than anything else, you simply need God to come in and move in the midst of where you are and guide you. We need wisdom. I need wisdom. And I pray that God would lead this church with wisdom. I pray that when we meet together and we seek God's will, He gives us wisdom. Not mine. Mine does not matter, but His. We need to pray for unity. You know, unity, the scripture says in Psalms 133:1, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." You know, everybody says they want unity, but here's what unity requires. Unity requires a surrender of your will. You say, well, you know, it's kind of like this. Well, I'll be in unity with anybody. They just got to get in the right place. It don't work like that. You know, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like, well, I could be at peace with my wife all the time. She'd just do everything I say. Yeah. Yeah. That's not going to happen. Unity is surrender of your will. Unity is seeking God's will. Unity requires understanding. Unity brings together differences of opinion. Unity settles differences in peace. And unity requires prayer. See, if we don't pray, we're not going to have unity. If we don't pray, we're not going to have God's leadership. But we need it in a church. Because if you don't have it, what happens? Well, you got this group and this group, and you got this one and you got that one, and people get their feelings hurt and people don't get their way. You know, I've heard people argue about the color of the carpet. Folks, I don't care. I've heard people argue about the paint on the walls. I don't care. I've heard people argue about little things sometimes without stopping to understand, what are my words going to do to hurt somebody? I was in a church one time that had a preacher. His pet peeve was chewing gum. He could be right in the middle of preaching, sweating, glory to God, but if he saw you chewing gum, all of a sudden it left him. He'd stop right in the middle of preaching to call you down for chewing gum. One time I was in a church and we didn't have a whole lot. We had just a few youth, and there were some little girls coming out of the community, and there's a little girl sitting on this side toward the back, and he walked in, and he saw her mouth moving. She had something hanging out of her mouth. He stopped and scolded her in front of everybody to make a point. You don't chew gum in God's house. This is holy ground. Now, I'm not saying that to y'all, okay? I see some of you chewing gum. Poof. I don't care. Folks, I've been in churches where they had spittoons by every bench, okay? It's all about him, not us. Y'all don't forget that. But when he spoke to that little girl, she was chewing on a balloon. Now, it doesn't matter. I don't care if it was gum. She had a piece of a balloon, something plastic in her mouth. It hurt her feelings so bad, I never saw her back in the house of God. You see, sometimes, folks, there are absolutes in the Word of God. Then there are preferences. Then there are convictions. There are absolutes that are going to stand when the world's on fire, okay? It's not going to change no matter who does like it or doesn't like it. It's an absolute from the Word of God. Then there are convictions. If you're not growing in your convictions, you're not growing in your relationship with God. But you can't take your convictions and push them on somebody else because they may not have grown to where you're at. And if you're really that mature, you're not going to offend them anyway. But you sure can't take your preferences and think that you're going to push that on everybody else. You'll never have unity if you're not led by the Spirit and you don't have a prayer life. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray for unity. Folks, we need to pray for protection. Now, I don't know if y'all have seen it as much as I have, but we've been under attack. We've been in a war for several months. God's blessing this place. The devil doesn't like it, Brother Greg, when you have to get people lined up to baptize them. The devil doesn't like it when you don't have room to park outside when you have a wild game banquet and people are getting saved. The devil don't like it when you have Bible school and little kids come to you weeping, tears rolling down their face, Brother Terry, because God changed their life. So what does he do? He does everything he can to stop what's going on in God's house. Now, folks, we've been through a spell to where my wife looked at me and she told me one time, she said, "Do you realize we've been to the hospital 12 times in 7 days?" Remember that? And you know what? I knew it was an attack. And I was praying that we would get through it. You know, that's the devil's way. Well, we're kind of through that one, aren't we? But now there's a different kind of attack. And he's moving. He's trying to cause confusion. He's trying to bring in corruption. But what we need to do is seek God and seek that we come together in unity with an understanding that sometimes your limited knowledge of something is not enough to change the way you feel about somebody. We need protection. We need protection from the enemy. The enemy is out there and he wants to come in here and keep us from being able to do what God wants us to do. Now, why do we need protection? Because Satan is after you. You remember Peter, Simon, who walked very close to the Lord. And in Luke chapter 22, the Lord himself looked at him and he said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." But Jesus said to Simon, he said, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now we know the story, how that Peter went out and he denied the Lord 3 times, but he also went and he wept bitterly. And he was there at the foot of the cross. And he learned, we know that he learned, and he got an understanding from it, because the 2 books that Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, this is what Peter wrote. He said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, folks, I've not always been a pastor. I have been a pastor before, but I taught Sunday school for probably, 13, 14 years, something like that. And I was seeking God, trying to, wanting to, desiring. My heart was burning. But God expected me to live just like I was pastoring, even though I wasn't. Now, y'all need to understand that. Just because you're not the pastor doesn't mean God doesn't expect you to live right. But I was under attack every day. Why? Because the devil did not want me here. Because the devil did not want me teaching that class. And I felt that attack, and here's what I got in the habit of doing. Every morning when I got up, before I would go to work here, this is what I'd do. I would get down on the couch, and I would ask God for 2 things. And I'm going to get to the other one in just a minute, but here's one of them. I would pray that God would put a hedge of protection around me and my family. Now, I can show you that in several places in the Word of God. But I would pray that God would put a hedge of protection around my loved ones, around my children, around my daughter, around my sons, and around my wife. Because the enemy is looking for a crack in the door that he can get in. Now there's a reference to this in Job chapter number 1 and verse number 10 where Satan is going to and fro upon the face of the earth. And he comes up before God, he says, speaking of Job, he says, hast not thou made an hedge about him, about his house and about all that he hath and on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Satan looked at it and he knew that there was a hedge around him. Folks, there's nothing wrong with praying for that. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, deliver us from evil, as it says in the Lord's Prayer. There's nothing wrong as it is in the prayer of Jabez, where he prayed, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it would not grieve me. You ought to pray for a hedge around your loved ones, because Satan wants to devour them. Now, I pray for a hedge around my family, but I pray for a hedge around yours. And I pray for a hedge of protection around this church. That's something that you say, well, I don't need it. You need it. You need it. You're not strong enough in yourself. You ever heard somebody stand up and say, well, you know, I'm glad I'm not like so-and-so. Look out. You might be in the tank next week. You know why? Because all God's got to do is remove his hand and you realize really just who you are. I need a hedge. We need to pray for a hedge. We need to pray for direction. We need God's direction. Folks, it doesn't matter what we think we need to do. It doesn't matter what I think I need to do in my career. It doesn't matter what I think I need to do if I'm of college age. It doesn't matter what I think we need to do if I'm a pastor and we need more seating. What we need is direction that comes from God. There are too many people, too many times, have their own agenda and they're not waiting to hear what God has to say. We need direction because God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We need to know God's will and we need to follow God's will and we need to be prepared, preparing ourselves to go in the direction that God has for us to go. But you got to prepare your heart. And you do that for prayer. Pray. Pray for these things. Pray for wisdom. Pray for protection. Pray for direction. And then pray for blessing. Is it wrong to pray for blessing? You hear both sides of that. Sometimes you hear them go to the extreme that that's all they talk about. Then you hear the opposite of it is we shouldn't pray for it at all. Folks, it's okay to ask God for blessing. I want God to bless me. You know, another thing, I said I pray for two things. Here's the second one. Every day I pray for blessing. You know, when I go down into that company that I work at and I go out there and I look at those people and I see those fab tables and I'm looking at those numbers every day, you know what I'm doing? I'm praying in orders. People laugh. Folks, I'm praying for blessing. I'm praying for God would send us what we need. I'm not getting up in front of people talking about it because they wouldn't appreciate it anyway. But I'm praying for blessing. Let me show you some scripture for that. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4 and verse number 10. This is the prayer of Jabez. It says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now, folks, there's that hedge. But you see, he says, bless me. Enlarge my coast. But look at the latter part of the scripture. It says, and God granted him that which he requested. He asked for blessing, number one. And he prayed for that God would enlarge his coast. What that is that God would expand his outreach. Now, if you're in business, basically, help my business grow. If you're in church, God help my church grow. If you're in a youth group, God help my youth group grow. If you're in missions or you're trying to work for God, Lord, help my influence grow. That I would be able. Here's the problem. What did we say? We have not because we ask not, or We ask and receive not because we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lust. You know that God already knows what's in your heart. He knows the seriousness and the intent of your prayer. God does not have a problem blessing you. God wants your heart right first. He wants your prayer life where it's supposed to be. He said, bless me. Bless me, O God. Enlarge my coast. And then he prayed. He said that you'd keep me from evil. You need to pray that prayer. Don't forget that. You need to pray that God would bless your home. You need to pray that God would bless your marriage. And if you're having struggles, here's what you can pray. God, help me to love my spouse the way that your word ordains it. Ain't nothing wrong with that prayer. Because God can change your hard heart. Sometimes people don't want to be in God's will. They say they do. But whenever it gets right down to it, they get offended by that kind of a word. Well, we can pray for blessing. And folks, the scripture says that God will bless us. Number six, we need to pray for perseverance. Do you realize that when you're trying to do the right thing and you're standing and you're in those battles, you're going to face opposition? You're going to face the enemy. You're going to have battles. You're going to have storms. And sometimes what you're going to have to do is count the cost. You're going to have to count the cost, because when you start standing for God and serving God, sometimes the enemy's going to be so strong against you that you're going to have to sit down and say, what is the cost if I quit? And what is the cost if I keep going? It might be difficult. There might be a struggle. But what's going to happen if I don't continue doing what I'm doing for God? You know how many preachers have said, I'm tired of the bickering. I'm tired of not being able to satisfy everybody. I'm tired of people complaining about the way I preach. I'm tired of people complaining about the music. I'm just going to quit. You need to pray for perseverance. Because, folks, we're in the right way. We're in the right place. We're doing the right things. We're doing things that are for God. And what we need to pray for is that God would give us staying power. You see, you must be willing to take up your cross and follow Him. Here's what staying power is. It means you don't quit when it gets tough. It means you don't quit when there's a battle. You don't quit when there's opposition. And you don't quit when the storm rages. Sometimes we'd like to. You know, sometimes we just like for it to be peaceful all the time, but it's not going to be. Why is it not going to be? Because we're living in a fallen world. We have an enemy that comes against us every day. Because what we're doing is so important. If it wasn't important, there would be no battle. If it wasn't important, there would be no reason to persevere. Anybody could do it. But the reason you're doing it and the reason it's such a battle sometimes is because it is so important. Because God is doing so much, and God has a plan sometimes that we cannot even see. And I've said this before, even when I couldn't see myself, is that God is always doing something, always, even when you cannot see it. Doesn't the scripture say in one place that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? See, if you're saved by the grace of God and you really in your heart want to be what God wants you to be, sometimes you cry out, God, where are you? God, why is it like this? Why isn't it easier? Why are we facing this adversity? God is always doing something even when you do not see it. So what I pray for in my own life is perseverance. Because what I want to do, Brother Tom, is spend the rest of my life serving God. And folks, let me tell you something. Ministry in 2015 is different than it was in 1970. I told my wife just this week, I said, there's no way that I would have believed if you'd have told me when we got married that we would face some of the things in ministry that we see today. I would have believed it. There's no way I would have believed that America would have fallen to the point that it's at, to where we face the type of adversity that we do. And folks, it's not over. One thing we may have to consider in our budget is that one day we will not be tax exempt because we won't let the federal government come in here and tell us what we can and cannot preach out of the Word of God. That's okay. We're not going to quit because of that. And let me tell you something. Go back to all of these different points and understand this in unity. Is, folks, we're going to have to really seek God that He will help us be able to stand on truth but not walk away in the love of our hearts through Jesus Christ to minister to those that He sends in our way. We're not going to compromise on the truth. But we have no idea what God's going to send us to minister to. And if you don't show them the love of Christ, you're not ministering. We need perseverance. We need to love one another. We need to pray. We need to pray. And as I was studying this, this is the last one. This is what had come to my heart. We need to pray that Jesus would come quickly. You go to the book of Revelation in chapter number 22 and verse 20. Says, He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. And then he says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. If you read the Lord's Prayer, it says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then the next line is, thy kingdom come. You know, sometimes I say as Christians, we all want to go to heaven. But we got so much down here that we just love, it's hard for us to really think about going today. But I want to tell you something that God has for you, and this is why you can pray, Lord, come quickly. It's what God has for us is perfect. There's no sin. There's no struggle. There's not going to be any cancer there. There's not going to be any heartaches there. There'll be no cataract surgery, no pacemakers. There'll be no children going astray. But we'll have perfection in paradise with Jesus, and our heart's desire will be filled. Amen. We have loved ones that are there now. And if He comes for us, that means we all go together. And I heard it said, when they were testifying last week, that, you know, anybody's in heaven, they wouldn't come back if they could. And I think it was Brother Jimmy said, well, I believe Brother Quinn would come back if he could lead one more to Jesus. And I appreciate that, and I understand that. I'm going to heaven one day. But right now, just to be honest with you, I'm not ready to go. Do you know why I'm not ready to go? Because I have a family. The biggest concern I'd have is what happened to them when I was gone. Because I know that there are people in this church today that don't know Jesus, Brother Terry. There are people in this church today that have heavy hearts and burdens, and they need God. And, you know, I don't want to go till He calls me. When He calls me, as the song says, I'm going to fly away. But if we all went together, and Jesus were to come, we wouldn't have to worry about our families. We wouldn't have to worry about our loved ones. I want to ask Brother Keith to come with a song. But folks, we need to pray. It's not just for the lost. But you just heard what I said, and here's the most important thing about an invitation. If Jesus come today, would you go with us? If we pray Jesus come quickly, and He is coming, because all the signs in the Scripture are lining up. Amazingly. Would you go with us? Would you spend your life separated from God? In eternity, separated from God and God's people. Or would you go with us? See, the Scripture says there'd be two at the meal. One will be taken away. Two in the field and one will be gone. When that trumpet sounds and the Lord ascends and He calls His children home. As they sing this song, if you feel like praying, if you don't know Jesus, let me tell you, we'll pray with you. This church will pray with you. These altars are open on both sides. Now, what about these other things? What about the things in your life? Have you prayed? Now, I want to challenge you. If you hadn't prayed for this church this week, come pray now. If you hadn't prayed for your marriage this week, come pray now. If you have, and there are things that I spoke about that are serious to you, that you think that are really something we need to be concerned about, come pray now. If you have, and I mean this right now with all my heart, if you have lost loved ones that you want to get saved, now's the time to pray. Because Jesus is coming, and the door of mercy is going to be closed. I ask you, if you would, to stand to your feet as Miss Mandy comes to sing. And I want to just invite you to come and pray with me. Come and pray together as she sings this song.
Merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer help when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way.
You are the one that we pray.
thank you this morning for moving when the God says to move. Thank you for moving during the church service. Thank you for moving during the invitation. But I want to tell you this. Altars of this church are always open. And I believe with all my heart that prayer is what's going to lead us in the right direction. I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. But my heart's heavy that we seek God and that He would lead us. Thank you for coming this morning and being with us in the house of the Lord. Didn't our choir do a great job this morning? Amen. We played that song at the beginning, I'm Overwhelmed. And I've heard that on the radio, and I said, well, I've got that. Every time I hear it, it's worship. It speaks to my heart, and I heard it, and they said, this guy named Big Daddy Weave sings it. And I told him this morning, I said, get the video, and let's see what it is. I had no idea, okay? But it was a group on a mission trip. Now, some of you youth get excited by this. I was back here talking to Matt Runyon a minute ago, and he said Big Daddy Weave, about 12 years ago, when they just were getting started, came to Macklin for a youth service. Now, how would y'all like to have Big Daddy Weave here? Yeah. We're going to see if we can figure that one out. I know some of you are more familiar with the McCameys, okay? Or Gold City. And I like them, too. I really do. Now, I'm excited. Tonight, we're going to have the Todd Nealon Trio here, and they're going to be singing for us, good singing. So if you can come back and be with us, we're going to have a good time. And I'm really excited about Wednesday night. We're going to have a youth-led service. Now, they're going to be singing. They're going to be doing the music. They're going to do everything. And we are going to be here to support them. And we're just going to pray that God would lead us. I'll tell you one thing. I support the youth. I support Celebrate Recovery. Yeah. I support the Golden Girls. Is that the right name? I support the mission trips. Folks, I want things to go and be done. I want God to do something. Yeah. And all we got to do is get behind Him, and He'll do it. Amen. Thank you for being with us this morning. Brother Timon, would you come up and dismiss us in prayer?